Mind Food Radio, Smart Thinking with Michael McHugh and Ben Starr.
Each year in Australia, over 35,000 reports are received by the police regarding a missing person, and 1,600 people remain missing long term.
You know, those numbers are extraordinary, and on May 25, it's actually International Missing Children's Day. And on today's show, I'd like to welcome Sarah Wayland, who is a missing children counsellor and specialises in grief and loss. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you going?
Good. I can't imagine doing a job like that, I have to say, because I think it would be really upsetting.
Well, look, I mean, it's a position that I came to probably 8 or 9 years ago now, and it was a new and emerging area of practice. And what I realised very quickly when I came to the job was that there was absolutely nothing that gave me, you know, some guidelines about how to work with these families. Mm. So I thought to myself, well, if there's nothing to assist me, then how is the rest of the community able to understand what happens for these families?
And what actually happens to these kids? You know, we often, I guess, hear in the media of how children have been abducted, and yeah, and in a lot of those cases, it doesn't end well. You know, when are you brought into the piece?
We were brought into cases when families either identified that they needed some assistance, or the police felt that this case was going to continue long term, because those statistics that you talked about of 35,000 reports received every year, about 90 to 95% of people are eventually located, but those other ones that remain missing, and for the families left behind, it's a really complicated life that they're faced with not knowing what's happened to who they're looking for.
Now, what happens with people that they drop out? I mean, is mental illness part of this as well?
It is. There was some research done probably 4 or 5 years ago now by the Australian Institute of Criminology. And the research showed that there were some definite types of people where something had happened to push them to make that decision to go missing. And so some of those issues were around mental illness, and some of it was in those early stages after diagnosis and needing to, I guess, drop out of life for a little while. There's about 10% of all cases where it relates to dementia, so elderly people who wander off. When it comes to children and young people, I mean, you can think of how diverse the issues are, but for young people, a lot of them will take off because they're having some challenges at home. Mm. And then there's that very small percentage where they are a victim of a crime. It's probably less than 5%.
So working with the families, you know, they must just be in absolute shock and kind of disbelief that, you know, their loved one has wandered off or disappeared. Mm. What are the first things that you kind of do when you sit down with them?
Look, I think in those early stages, and when I say early stages, it's probably the first 6 to 12 months, in those early stages, people are just wanting access to practical things, because the sole focus is what else can they do to search for this person. Mm. So it's very much about, you know, the black and whiteness of where have we looked and where else have we got left to look, and how can we get the media involved, and how can we find clues that might lead us to locating that person. I think once those clues disappear and once the kind of the trail goes cold, I think after 12 to 18 months, people begin to start thinking, well, how is it that I can live with this loss long term? Mm. And that's when that kind of typical grief and counselling work is done with families about living with an ambiguous loss.
If somebody's listening into our program today and they've been thinking of this, what advice do you have to them?
Look, I think it's really difficult to balance the needs of the people left behind versus the person that goes missing, because I think there's some real valid reasons why people decide to disconnect from their families, and we shouldn't kind of shy away from that and say, you know, everyone should be in contact and everyone should be nice to each other.
Yeah.
But I think it's about for that missing person to find a place of safety, and if that isn't going to be in terms of in connection with their family, maybe linking in with their GP or linking in with their local support services to work out a way that they can look after themselves whilst they're disconnected from their usual support network.
Sarah, thank you very much for being part of our show. Sarah, you're a missing children counsellor, specialising in grief and loss. And please, listeners, don't forget that on May 25th is the International Missing Children's Day. Thanks a lot, Sarah.
Thanks.
Mind Food Magazine and Mind Food Radio. Together, smart thinking.